con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
One word I tell my patients anytime they sit down and meet me for the first time that they cannot use in my office is should. You know? I think that is so limiting. And it is also, it's also very controlling, you know? This is a season for fertility of letting go, of accepting that you need help, of finding your village, your team, and not allowing the shoulds in your life to steal your joy.
This podcast is meant to provide information on reproductive health. It does not establish a physician-patient relationship, and we would urge you to contact your treating provider regarding your care.
Hi, it's Dretner Hassan at the Modern Parenthood Podcast, and today I'm excited to have Dr. Roxanne Perreault with me. She is very unique. She's an obstetrician gynecologist, and she has delivered numerous babies, but she has struggled with infertility herself. And I would love for the listeners to hear her story and what she went through to have her children. So welcome to the show, Dr. Perreault.
Thank you, Dorette. It's such an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Dr. Perreault, you brought up two very important things, fibroids and endometriosis. Tell us, let's start with endometriosis first. You talked about some aunts having the endometriosis, it being genetic, the inflammatory factors. Tell us a little bit about endometriosis for our listeners.
Yes. So, and right, I think, again, you know, that education piece, you know, sometimes gets lost when someone's diagnosed with endometriosis, especially on their fertility journey. It's, oh, we have endometriosis, we cleaned it all up, let's get back to trying to get you pregnant. But discussing the, you know, the impacts of endometriosis, not just for fertility, but for overall health and morbidity associated with it, I am that liaison that I'm very honored to be, you know, in between someone's OBGYN and in between someone's fertility doctor, where I have the time and I have the space to sit down and to explain to a patient that endometriosis, you know, is inflammatory. It's autoimmune. It's gut health related. It's mood related. It's so far reaching of a diagnosis that can't be just confined into your ability to conceive or not, or whether or not you have bad cramps or heavy periods. And so to help a woman understand her unique endometriosis and how we can treat her, not just for fertility, but for beyond, I love that space that I'm in. But you know, right? So much is evolving right now as well with the root causes for endometriosis. We see oral, gut, vaginal microbiome disruptions with it. We see its connection with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, with leaky gut, dysbiosis. We're seeing all of these new immune markers that are connected with inflammation for endometriosis. So I think we're in a really exciting time to learn more and do more for endometriosis patients, because we kind of don't have enough tools to really treat it well for women.
I love that you mentioned that, because oftentimes I see patients, they have a surgery and then a couple of years later they have another surgery and then another surgery. And understanding the endometriosis is so important. And what else can we do? An anti-inflammatory diet, those types of things that can help them prevent having repeated surgeries and cut back on some of the inflammation. And you're absolutely right. We're in such a great place today where there's so much research being done and we have such a better understanding of the inflammatory markers associated with endometriosis. And then the fibroids. Tell us a little bit about fibroids. How does it run? How common are they?
Yes. We know that fibroids are extremely common, right? And especially for, you know, Black women like myself. You know, up to 80-90% of Black women at some point could be diagnosed with fibroids. But I think it's also, right, super important to understand that, you know, the etiology of infertility is not always, you know, just because you have a fibroid, that's it, slam dunk, we take it out and you're good to go. You know we have different degrees, different types of fibroids, and some of those impact the cavity of the uterus that definitely need to be addressed surgically. And then others, you know, for me in the functional medicine space, we know what that fibroids are estrogen driven. We want to work on estrogen detoxification. We want to make sure that a patient is able to sweat out and excrete her estrogen so she's not stimulating growth of those fibroids. And so it's it is a very common diagnosis that unfortunately a lot of women don't really know whether they have them or not until they go through that fertility journey. Because again, just like endometriosis, heavy periods, painful periods, that often just gets dismissed as this is common.
You've been through so much: endometriosis, fibroids, IUIs, IVF, adoption. Tell me how these experiences have influenced you as a physician and how you go about today treating your patients.
Yes. It's just that ripple effect. And I often am very grateful that I went through what I went through, even though it was very painful for me and my family, because now I get to sit across someone who's, you know, been through multiple rounds of IVF and IUI and all of those things. And I can say I understand. And in those moments where a woman just wants to feel like she's heard and seen, there's nothing else, nothing better that they want to hear, or that you can say. And it just really, really helps me to be the provider that they need at that moment, and get them to understand, I am all in with you. I want this just as much as you do, and I'm going to do everything possible to help you.
And you touch on something super important: having the patient feel that they're understood and that they've been seen. Sometimes that's all they want. They never do treatments, they never go on to treatments, but just that someone heard them is really important to them.
Absolutely.
Dr. Perro, are there any instances that you remember, moments where it was just, wow, I'm pregnant, or I held my baby for the first time? Can you tell us about some of your favorite moments about pregnancy, favorite moments about holding your child for the first time, your favorite moments about adoption?
Yeah, I don't think anyone forgets the first time that they held, especially their firstborn. I mean, just, I remember everyone that was in the room. I remember my nurse. I remember my anesthesiologist. Just so beautiful. You know, you just can't even put it into words, that connection that happens when you're given life and you're given this responsibility. And it seems, you know, when you actually think about it, you're just like, wow, that's really overwhelming. But it's also so simple and so sweet and so just innocent, that new life, that connection, that easy love that happens when you meet your child. But yeah, pregnancy was all about just a mad dash to the finish line. You know, I just wanted to meet him. I wanted to not be pregnant anymore. But yeah, you know, I have those reflections for sure about, wow, you know, that truly is the closest I'm ever going to get to my child, like feeling him kick me on the inside. And we often forget how beautiful that is and how much we will miss that when we're pregnant, right?
Yeah, I see that all the time. And it's part of our human nature. We see the final destination. We can't wait to get to that final destination. And we forget, even myself included, we forget how amazing that journey could be before we get to that destination. And I find myself on a daily basis just having to pause and say, I'm here in this moment.
Yes.
Because I'm just so focused on getting to the next thing and the next thing and accomplishing this. And just to be in that moment and be happy about that moment, I think we need to pause and reflect on that.
Absolutely. That was beautiful. I love how you said it. Yeah.
And I will tell you, I experienced the same thing too. So my only child was born via surrogacy. But the first time I held him, it was just the most amazing experience. I cried like a ton in the delivery room. But it's just such a wonderful experience to have a child when you've been wanting one for such a long time.
Yes.
Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Dr. Perro, tell us about your experience. You went through numerous treatments, endometriosis, fibroids. Tell us about finding the right physician that was right for you in helping you with this journey.
Yes, that's a great question. You know, and that is something that I definitely am a big support with my patients. You know, it's about finding truly your village. It's not just about finding a doctor. It's about finding your team, you know, that's going to help you through this journey. And that is even when you're thinking about just the people that you're surrounding yourself with. I remember in my fertility journey at some point, you know, my best friend of, you know, 6 years had said, hey, well, maybe it's just not, you know, God's plan for you to be a mom. And I remembered in that moment, you cannot be part of my village right now. I love you, but these are not the words that I need in my life. I went through staying with the same fertility doctor for 4 years and so grateful for their care. But I do encourage patients, look, there is nothing wrong with seeking a second opinion, a third opinion. You know, you've got to feel like this person is really, really in your corner, that they don't have one hand on the door the second that they open the door ready to leave and go on to the next patient. You want to feel like they are all in and they are involved. They remember what they did last cycle. They have your best interest. They know specific details about your history, and that you're not rehashing it every new appointment that you go to. And I think that that's very important. And I think we have the ability, right? You know, to go online and see these success rates with fertility doctors. And that's all that we look at when we're choosing a fertility doctor. But it doesn't always mean that that's the right thing for you to prioritize. Yes, it's important that they have high success rates, but across the board, there's so many good doctors with great success rates. So how do you pick the right one for you? You go and you interview them and you really do understand, look, these people should be in my corner. I'm investing my time, my money in this, and I want to make it with the right team.
So well said. It's finding that right match where you feel like you can work with that person and they understand you. And you're also right in terms of a team, not just your physician, but family, friends, a therapist. There's so many people that go about helping with the fertility journey. And it's so important to have that village.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I love, Dorette, that I'm a part of your village. Thank you so much for taking care of so many of my patients. And thank you for respecting what I am trying to do to help them through lifestyle and functional medicine. And I just truly respect everything that you've done. And I really appreciate our friendship that we've had.
Thank you. I appreciate the same thing. Thank you. Well, I want to close this episode with you leaving some words of wisdom for our listeners who are struggling with infertility. Some may not even may not have made their appointment as yet to go see the fertility doctor. They're just at home wondering, wishing if they should even make an appointment. And then those who have done numerous treatments, can you leave them with some words of wisdom and hope?
One word I tell my patients anytime they sit down and meet me for the first time that they cannot use in my office is should. I think that is so limiting. And it is also, it's also very controlling, you know. This is a season for fertility of letting go, of accepting that you need help, of finding your village, your team, and not allowing the shoulds in your life to steal your joy of every positive thing that you can pull out of a day, a cycle, an event, anything like that. And right, you know, we see so many women that finally have that positive pregnancy test that they've been wanting. And they're anxious to be happy. Well, I don't want to get my hopes up. Why not? You're letting your future self and your past self steal the joy of this day, which is today you are pregnant. Let's be excited about it. Let's be happy about it. And that's something that I will scream to the rooftops. I think that that is so important for women to live in the present and, yes, learn from the past, but don't let it dictate what is going to happen today, and to not let the future self steal your opportunity to be present and to be happy in this moment, right? You know, I mean, when I was pregnant, like, oh, I couldn't wait to have the baby, you know? Well, what did I miss out on? I missed out on, like, being able to be the closest to my child as I ever would be. I just remember rushing through my pregnancies, and I regret that now. So as much as I can, I try to live in this day, in this moment, in the happiness and in the trials, but knowing even in the trials that there's something that beautiful will happen from that.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your experience with us today.
Thank you, Joria. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I want to thank Dr. Pera for sharing her amazing story with us. If you want to hear more amazing stories and learn everything about fertility, please follow, like, and subscribe. You do not want to miss another episode.
Pioneer.